We're glad to present your speaker, Brother V. E. Howard.
Thank you and greetings, my friends. Today we continue the discussion of the New Testament conversions. This time, Acts chapter 8, the record of the conversion of the Ethiopian officer. This is the inspired account. But an angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, the same as desert. And he rose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority on Candace, queen of Ethiopians, who was over all her treasure, who had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot, and was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran to him, and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except someone shall guide me? And he besought Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of Scripture which he was reading was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is dumb, so opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. His generation who shall declare? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other? And Philip opened his mouth, beginning from this scripture, preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, Behold, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, for he went on his way rejoicing. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this, no doubt, is one of the clearest cases of conversion set forth in the book of Acts. There are four personalities in this conversion that we shall consider. Namely, the angel of the Lord, the Spirit of God, Philip the preacher, and the Ethiopian officer, the man to be converted to Christ. It was not the function of the angel to appear to the man to be converted. Quite the contrary. He appeared to the preacher and gave him sufficient instructions as to how he might meet the man to be converted. It was not the function of the Holy Spirit to speak directly to the man to be converted. Quite to the contrary, he spoke to the preacher, and remember, this was during the miraculous age, and gave him further instructions about joining the traveling man who was reading his Bible. There is no Bible example anywhere in the Bible where any member of the Godhead or an angel ever told anybody what to do to be saved. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7, But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the exceeding greatness of the power of God may be, and not from ourselves. God has selected men, not the Godhead nor angels, to preach the gospel. The apostle declared that God had determined that through the foolishness of preaching, the believer might be saved. Now you'll read about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21. Don't you know that if the Holy Spirit or an angel from heaven ever converted any person directly from heaven, this would have been the most opportune time to have done so. But my friends, hear me. Are you listening? Even during this miraculous age, and at the time of this miraculous demonstration, neither the Holy Spirit nor the angel had anything to do with the conversion of this man of Ethiopia. The Holy Spirit, in this case, filled his mission by directing the preacher of the gospel to the man that was to hear the gospel and be saved. Next, we shall consider briefly the preacher, Philip the Evangelist. Philip was a man of the book. He began at the same scripture the traveling man was reading, Isaiah chapter 53, and preached unto him Jesus. He was a book, chapter, and verse preacher, as we would designate him today. He told the man the conditions of conversion, the conditions of salvation, which God requires of all men, as we shall see from this text shortly. Philip preached the same gospel that Peter preached on Pentecost, recorded in Acts chapter 2, because the Bible says he preached unto him Jesus Christ. And to preach Christ is to preach the gospel of Christ. Christ commissioned all who preach the gospel to preach the same gospel, his gospel, with his terms of salvation. Yes, Philip was a gospel preacher. He knew the truth, and he loved to preach it to those who would hear it. Courteously and kindly, he inquired if the man understood the import of the message he was reading. Now, the fourth important personality of this narrative is the man to be converted. Inspiration leaves him nameless. He is simply an officer from Ethiopia. He possessed great authority. He served Candace, Queen of Ethiopians. In modern parlance, we would call him the Secretary of State, and that he had charge of all her treasury. He was a very responsible person. He was a deeply religious man, evidently. He had come hundreds of miles to worship God in Jerusalem. Without doubt, he must have been either a Jew or a proselyte, because the gospel at that time had not been preached to the Gentiles. Like Joseph in Egypt, Esther in Persia, Daniel in Babylonia, and Nehemiah in the Persian court, he had risen to great responsibility in a foreign court. He was a very studious man. He was reading aloud the scriptures as he was returning home, but he did not understand Isaiah 53, which he was reading. Philip enlightened his understanding and preached unto him from that very scripture, Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now, the evangelist inquired, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" Whereupon the traveling officer replied, "How can I, except some man shall guide me?" This honest man realized the necessity of understanding God's Word. Understanding the truth is essential to conversion. Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John chapter 8, verse 32. It is almost unbelievable that some religious teachers today would say that one cannot know the truth. The very first question asked the man to be converted in this case was, "Do you understand what you are reading?" The unhesitating reply was, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" In other words, "I would be grateful for your assistance in teaching me God's Word," the man to be converted was saying. But how different from many people today! Some would have replied, "Sir, I don't need your help. I am capable of reading and understanding myself. In fact, I am satisfied with my religion and I don't want to be disturbed. You understand the Bible in your way and I understand it my way, so let's not get involved in a discussion of what the Bible says. You know, after all, we can't all understand the Bible alike. And, you know, it really doesn't make any difference anyway, does it?" Now, my friends, have you ever heard anything like that today? But, oh, what a difference in this Bible case of conversion. That was not the attitude of this man. He said, "Tell me what the Bible says. Please tell it like it is. I shall be grateful if you can guide me." Beginning from the very scripture the man was reading, the evangelist preached unto the Ethiopian officer, Jesus. Now, question: what did Philip preach when he preached Jesus? Did he just ride along with the man and say, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus"? You might say, how absurd can you be? Anyone would know that it meant more than just saying, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." To preach Christ is to preach the commands of Christ. Philip, therefore, preached faith, repentance, confession, and baptism, because Christ so commanded in John 8:24, Luke 13:3-5, and Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. There can be no doubt about that. This is what Jesus had said, and this is what they preached when they preached Jesus. Remember the Lord said, "Preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." My friends, if baptism is non-essential to salvation, is it not rather strange that this command of the Lord is given such emphasis in this record on conversion, there can be no doubt that Philip preached baptism as a condition of this man's conversion. The eunuch didn't learn it from the reading of Isaiah 53, but he did learn that Isaiah 53 referred to Christ, and the preacher of the gospel of Christ told him what Christ required in his being converted to the Lord. Philip began with this very text and preached the fullness of the gospel as he preached to him Jesus Christ. This man, being converted to Christ, believed what Christ said and desired to obey the Lord. Coming to a body of water as they traveled along, the eunuch inquired, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" You read that in verse 36 of Acts 8. Now, where did he get the idea that he should be baptized in water? Obviously, as Philip preached unto him Jesus, he preached the commands of Jesus. There can be no question about the fact that Jesus commanded, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Mark 16:16. That's what Philip preached when he preached Jesus. It has been suggested by some religious teachers that the Ethiopian officer was baptized with the Holy Spirit, not in water. This would seem incredible. If the Lord had said, "Baptize the man in buttermilk," don't you think that he would have said buttermilk? But since the Bible says water baptism, "Here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized?" What else could it have been but water baptism? If Jesus had intended that men be baptized in water, what other word would he use other than water? The Bible says, "Baptized in water. Here is water." And as they went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Acts 16, verses 36 through 39. A good question to consider at this point would be, how was the officer from Ethiopia baptized? Did you know that some people would have you believe that the eunuch was sprinkled for baptism? Someone has said that the Ethiopian officer was sprinkled for baptism because they were in a desert where there was no water for burial in water. This is a complete false conclusion as the result of improper knowledge. They were not in a desert. The Bible says that they were on the road from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Acts 8:26. This means a deserted area, not a desert land. It was said one time that a man said that the water was in a jug, which the traveling officer was carrying in his chariot. He therefore produced the jug of water, saying, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" My friends, the Bible exposes such absurdity. This Bible text states that they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Now look at the absurdity of scripture twisting by saying that the water was in the jug. Can you imagine this? Let's put the jug in the Bible and read it that way. Are you listening? "And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water in a jug. And the eunuch said, 'See, here is water in a jug. What doth hinder me to be baptized?' And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they both went down into the water in a jug, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water in a jug, he went on his way rejoicing." Ladies and gentlemen, the fallacy of disregarding plain Bible teaching. Some religious teachers have even suggested that Philip and the eunuch went down to the water, and Philip the preacher dipped up water and poured it on the eunuch for baptism. Beloved, it is a serious thing to pervert the word of the Lord. Not only that, it is much easier to accept the word of God without getting involved in this twisting and misquoting of the scriptures. Let's look at the simplicity of this Bible text. The record says that the man said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Obviously, water baptism. Furthermore, the Bible says, "They went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him." Inspiration emphasized that both Philip the preacher and the eunuch, the man to be baptized, went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And the Bible says that they came up out of the water. Why try to explain away such plain, positive statements of the Bible? If there were not another word in the Bible about how people are to be baptized, this example should forever settle the matter. But don't you know the Bible gives further description of baptism? So plain and positive that it would seem impossible for anyone to misunderstand. Hear these inspired words of the apostle, and I say, are you listening? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Buried with him by baptism, the Bible says. You can't misunderstand that, can you? The confession of Christ as the Son of the living God is essential to scriptural New Testament baptism. When the Ethiopian officer requested baptism, the Bible records that Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. In response, the eunuch said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Verses 36 and 37. The Apostle Paul emphasized the relationship of faith and confession of Christ to salvation in his inspired statement recorded in Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. He said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Faith in Christ is essential. Confession of Christ is essential. There are some different scriptural conclusions about this matter, however, and they are very definite. One, without faith man cannot please God. Hebrews 11, verse 6. But one cannot believe until he has heard what to believe. In this same text, the apostle reasoned, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And two, the apostle therefore concluded, so faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Verses 14 and 17 of Romans 10. And thirdly, the confession of Christ is unto salvation, according to Romans 10, verse 10. It is obvious, therefore, that when the Ethiopian eunuch made confession of Christ, a profession of his faith in Christ, he was not saved, since his confession is made unto salvation. Many honest people have been misled to believe that they received salvation in Christ the moment they believe, while others claim that they were saved by some unusual experience with the Lord, and then made public their confession, and they were saved, making a confession something like this, God, for Christ's sake, has pardoned my sins. Then upon that confession, affirming that they were already saved, they were baptized into some church, because they were saved and had made confession of their salvation. But, my friends, I say, are you listening? Don't miss this. Romans 10, verse 10 states that confession is made unto salvation, not because already saved. The word unto leaves no doubt that the believer who confesses Christ is not in Christ, not saved, but his confession is made unto salvation. Unto is not into. There's a great difference. You may walk unto your house, but that's not the same thing as walking into your house. A person believes unto. He may confess unto, as the Bible says. But the Bible makes it clear that one is baptized into Christ. This same apostle, in this same inspired epistle, declared, or are you ignorant, that all we who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. Romans 6:3. The same apostle leaves no doubt about how many believers are in Christ, where salvation is experienced, where remission of sins is enjoyed. Hear this inspired man of God. For you're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ. Galatians 3, 26-27. The officer from Ethiopia was truly converted to Christ. He proved his faith in Christ by obeying the commands of Christ. It must be remembered that Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." To believe in Christ is to believe the word of Christ, his gospel. To believe his gospel is to obey his gospel. The Ethiopian officer was truly a believer converted to Christ. As a believer, he was buried with Christ by baptism into death that he might walk the new life. The new life is in Christ, where believers are baptized into Christ. The Ethiopian eunuch went on his way rejoicing as a Christian, one truly converted to the Lord. The conclusion of the matter relating to his conversion is recorded in these words in the Bible. "And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip,